It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. We go live to Ukraine right now and check in with Joseph Lindsley. Good afternoon to you, Joseph.
Wendy, good afternoon. Hello from the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv, just about 30 miles from Russia. I arrived a few hours ago. I took the train early this morning from Kyiv. It was a calm night in Kyiv, no attacks on the capital. But as the train arrived here in Kharkiv, everyone in my car, their phones began to sound with that air raid alert, which in a way, it's a sign of great progress here, because there were many times a year ago when I would arrive in Kharkiv to the sound of actual nearby artillery shelling. That's something you never hear here anymore. The Russians have been pushed back far enough away. But you do hear the air alarms frequently here. And when I got settled in, I went for a run. You know, I really love this city because it's such a strong spirit. And it shows that the human resolve cannot be defeated. And I was running through the Shevchenko City Garden. It's a beautiful park with green lawns. There are signs everywhere, you know, telling people not to go in the grass. And Ukrainians are very wild and free people, but they follow laws, rules like that. And so the lawns are absolutely perfect. Spectacular flower beds. There were parents taking their kids to the city zoo. Two old men were playing the accordion and the clarinet together, punctuated by the occasional sounds of the air raid alarm. So really this beautiful scene of people walking and living life very calmly in this city, so close to Russia, just 30 miles. And then one block later, as I left the park, you know, I'm running through ruins from previous Russian attacks on the city. You know, there's glass on the street, and it's sort of just, that's life here. You know, one block, and even as I look out the window of my hotel, I can see a building that was mostly destroyed many months ago. And it's, you know, life is continues amid the ruins here. And I was thinking as I was traveling that train, it's always a surreal experience. You know, trains already are sort of prone to, you know, you're prone to reflection when you're on a train with the rhythm of the rails. And I woke up somewhere in the middle of the steppes, these beautiful rolling hills of eastern Ukraine. And for a second, I wasn't sure if I was going east or west. Then I remembered that I'm going toward, you know, I'm in civilization, but I'm going toward that hellish land, you know, toward the border with Russia, from which all this destruction has been coming. And that is a scary thought, to be thinking you're going so close to people who want to destroy goodness and decency and innocent people. But when you're here, you find such encouragement and energy, especially here in this city of Kharkiv. And as I was on the train, Wendy, I was thinking, you know, just, you know, you have time to think for once, and, you know, you don't really have internet signal, so you can't follow, you know, if there are attacks happening. And it's a nice little bit of a break. And I was thinking about, you know, we so often hear, I mean, Russia so frequently sends these drones to attack Ukraine. Recently, there have been a lot of drone attacks on Odessa, even on Lviv a couple months ago, very frequently on Kyiv. And I think, you know, we know these drones, I mean, these drones are made in Iran. And their name is called Shahid. And I think, you know, here everyone knows what that means. But I think in the West, this detail gets forgotten. And it shows just how sinister the enemy is that we're facing. Shahid means martyr, like suicide bomber. These drones are, you know, it's a terroristic idea. The very genesis of these drones. And they are the size of a Mini Cooper. And they have that horrible, you know, they're sort of, you know, now it's horrible to everyone, the sound of a moped or lawnmower, and you can hear it approaching. You know, a missile is so quick, but these drones, you can hear them coming as they turn and twist as they seek their target. And their mission is to, you know, go in and destroy a building, these unmanned drones. But the Iranians who manufacture them explicitly call them martyr drones, you know, like the martyr, you know, seeking the 72 virgins after destroying innocent people.
Yes.
And that is what Russia is raining down upon Ukraine. And, you know, Ukraine is, I mean, it is probably the most Christian country in Europe. It's not like in a polemical way, but especially in Western Ukraine, you know, you see groups of priests and monks and nuns walking everywhere. Everyone, as they pass the churches, they're crossing themselves. You see that in the West, you know, in the city. But it's also, Ukraine is very religious and very diverse. It's a free place. And so you have the Muslim Crimean Tartars, who now live in exile away from their homeland of the Crimean Peninsula. You have many Orthodox Jews, especially in the city of Dnipro, in Odessa, here in Kharkiv. And, you know, Russia is this unfree totalitarian society reigning this hell with the cooperation of regimes like that in Iran on people who live in this free, tolerant society where you can practice your beliefs and get along with everyone. And that's exactly what, you know, I think Russia is trying to smother this reality that freedom is really possible and it can exist in a peaceful, lovely society.
You are painting such a vivid picture. I honestly, Joseph, I hang on your every word. And those drones sound so terrifying, like just a slow descent in and then Shahid, you know, a suicide mission.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and there was that day in June when I heard there was a succession of three drones over Lviv, which is terrifying that they made it that far. They flew through the night along rivers and through forests, evading detection, and they had to shoot them down with machine guns on the rooftops of buildings in Lviv, so close to Poland. So these are absolutely terrifying. I mean, every instrument of war that Russia throws at Ukraine is terrifying, but these are especially sinister and revealing, I think, of the real motives. And, you know, I was speaking with, you know, always talking with the Americans that come here, and one of them was saying yesterday, it's really nice being in a country that's so pro-American. You know, everyone in Ukraine loves America because they're so grateful for all the support. And at the same time, as I was talking with this American friend, he said, Ukraine can remind America what it means to be American. You know, things I think that we sometimes forget, but that we can live in freedom and tolerance, but still hold on to our traditions and our beliefs. And, you know, I mentioned a while ago, there was that movie, The Sound of Freedom, about child trafficking in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And the main character, Tim Ballard, played by the actor Jim Caviezel, you know, he's the hero of the movie. He saved kids all around the world. But, you know, he went on many podcasts and media appearances in America to promote this film. And he said he was in Ukraine for a week, but he didn't go very extensively. And, you know, the movie about his story is called The Sound of Freedom. But he says like absolute falsehoods about Ukraine. In these podcasts, because in some sectors in America, if you attack Ukraine, you know you're going to get your post liked and shared. And he said that there was, as I mentioned before, a pedophile political party operating in Ukraine. It's totally untrue that the party he was talking about was in Amsterdam like 15 years ago. And people make up, I don't want to, you know, these sort of freedom lovers in America are making up lies about Ukraine while Ukrainians are, you know, actually fighting for the freedom that we adore in America. And so it's becoming a big problem on the information front. And, you know, actually, I heard when I mentioned this on the radio previously, I heard from friends of Tim Ballard who were very angry that I would point this out. But we have to correct, you know, make sure that the record is true.
Yes, absolutely.
That Ukraine is a free and decent land.
Well, that's why we love talking to you, Joseph, because we find the truth. And we will talk to you again tomorrow, hoping that you have a quiet night. That's really all I can say. We're praying for you.
Wendy, always great to talk to you. Until tomorrow.